This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour number two of the Blitz live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, AM 1340, FM 105.7, streaming on your free Fan Run Radio app and on fanrunradio.com. Podcast is uploaded moments after every show, and you can find us on Periscope as well and see our bright and shining faces. Get hour number two started with a little bit of an opening drive. First down, Albert Pujols. This happened last night. Albert Pujols was released yesterday by the LA Angels. Source confirms to ESPN. Pujols is hitting .198 in 92 plate appearances this year. For his career, he's .298 with 667 home runs and 2,112 RBIs. First ballot Hall of Famer, more than likely. Pujols. Released by the Angels.
It's a sign of the times. Father Time, undefeated, never lost.
He had been there, 10 years?
Yeah.
It was his final year of age. 10-year, $263 million contract.
Yeah, so he did him right. I mean, it's about that time. He doesn't really have it anymore. I mean, maybe he plays another year or so as a DH somewhere if somebody needs something like that. But, I mean, the guy, I think he's had a hell of a run.
It's
many great years with the Cardinals. What, two championships there, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some pretty good years with the Angels that just never took off. Whenever he got there, they just never could make that run. I mean, and he went there in his prime. Still had a lot of quality years left. They added a Mike Trout, added some other guys along the way. They just never were able to actually have any type of postseason success.
Sad that he didn't get a better send-off, I guess, but Vegas has odds for what his next move is, and
yeah, I was gonna say, where do you think he winds up next?
The White Sox are the current favorite. He needs to be in the AL, obviously.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of teams.
He needs to be a DH, but I think there are plenty of teams that
pick him up as DH.
Yeah, are willing to at least give him
a
go.
He can still hit you 15 to 20, maybe. What did he hit? What were his stats last year? I really don't know.
He wasn't terrible last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Via odds makers, White Sox plus 200, A's plus 350, Indians plus 500, Blue Jays plus 700, Cardinals plus 900, Royals plus 900, Cardinals plus 1500, and no team plus 2000.
So we'll see what Pujols' next move is as he's cut by the LA Angels.
And there's another thing
yesterday.
You mentioned the Cardinals. Do they just bring him back and have him there for a farewell for the last season, kind of paying him a lot of respect for bringing him up through their organization and let him spend his last year there before he retires? Might see that too. Does he want to go back to St. Louis for his last hurrah?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see what his next move is in the coming days. Second down. Sad story out of Austin, Texas. University of Texas linebacker Jake Ellinger, the younger brother of former Texas quarterback Sam Ellinger, was found dead Thursday by Austin police. He was just off the campus. No cause of death has been released, but authorities say his death is, quote, not suspicious.
Yeah, that allegedly, and speculation signifies, he did some harm to himself. Thoughts and prayers, guess to, Texas fans and the Ellinger family. It's real sad stuff, man. Anytime a young life is taken very soon and in that manner. Very tough stuff. And,
father recently passed away.
Yeah, I was about to say, that family recently, Sam Ellinger recently lost his dad. Recently, so yeah, tough time for the Ellinger family, no doubt.
Yes, thoughts and prayers with that family and that community down in Austin. Third down, the football that Tom Brady threw to complete his first touchdown pass in the NFL is going up for auction. with Leland's on Sunday. This unique piece of sports history has been with a seller who wishes to remain anonymous since the game on October 14th in 2001 when the Patriots played the San Diego Chargers. Let's see.
How did somebody acquire this? Wouldn't you think Brady would have kept his first touchdown pass?
That is strange.
You know, like anytime like a guy, you know, running back, anybody, most of the time they get their first touchdown. You know, in baseball, we see it all the time.
Here we go. The Patriots were driving at the San Diego 21-yard line when Brady took the snap, looked for Terry Glenn. The whole play, then threw a dart to him in the front of the end zone. Glenn threw his arms in the air and celebrated with his teammates. He then made his way to the back of the end zone and threw the ball into the crowd.
Gotcha.
Seller said, it was a melee. I stood up on my seat. I pushed my buddy to the left. The other two guys, I handed them my beer in a gentle way. I jumped up, tussled with a group of other fans around me, and came down with the ball. So that's how he got it.
That's how he got it.
Terry Glenn threw it up into the crowd.
Terry Glenn threw Tom Brady's first touchdown pass where he couldn't keep, I mean, threw his ball away. That's a pretty cool story.
Sold it back to Brady.
I wonder if Brady would want it now. Well, maybe then he might have wanted it in the first couple years. Brady's got all these rings now and Super Bowl trophies, and what do I need this football for?
Leland's previously sold the infamous football from the Patriots AFC Championship game defeat of the Colts in 2014, the infamous Deflategate, after which New England was accused of deflating footballs to gain an advantage. That ball sold in July of 2015 for $43,740. So I'm not sure how much this football will be worth. Let's see. Leland says, photo verified that the football based on markings and writings on the football that was specific to the Patriots game at the time. As Glenn celebrated the end zone, the photographer captured the moment with Glenn holding the football with the laces out and the markings clearly shown. So it is the actual football of from that game. So interesting to see how much money that football will bring in.
Well, you gotta think it's gonna bring in pretty good amount when Brady had a Tom Brady Panini Playoff Contenders Championship ticket rookie card for $2.25 million in April, which broke the record for the highest selling football card. So the football's got to be worth even more.
So we shall see as that goes on auction Sunday. Fourth down, Tennessee baseball starts their series on the road tonight at Missouri. Little trip to Como for a weekend series against the Tigers.
Very underrated college town, by the way.
Columbia? Never been.
Bush's Billiards Hall. Best burgers I've ever had in my life.
Tonight and Sunday's game will be on SEC Network Plus. Saturday's game will be on SEC Network. Tonight's game starting at 7:30, Saturday at 4, and Sunday at 2. Mentioned in the open, Tennessee should be able to come away with at least a series win. If not, I think it's going to be a little cause for concern. Missouri, not a very good team. They have lost 6 straight games.
Tony V going back home.
And going back to his alma mater. So I'm sure he'll want to get this series win as well. Get a little exact some revenge on the alma mater. Going back home. St. Louis native.
He is. Tony V. Hopefully they continue to reel off this nice SEC wins. They continue to, you know, after the Kentucky series, come back, beat a struggling Missouri team. Hopefully no hiccups, and get you ready for one of your biggest matchups yet.
Tennessee.
Arkansas's next week, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Arkansas and then South Carolina to end it. But Tennessee did get a little help last night from the old mouth breathers up north.
Yeah, saw Kentucky, where Kentucky beat
Kentucky
Florida.
Kentucky beat Florida, put them a couple games back now of Tennessee and Vandy's tie for first place in the East. So that's cool. Shout out, Kentucky.
So Kentucky doing us a little bit of a favor. Who does Vanderbilt play this weekend?
Is this weekend Ole Miss for them, or?
Let me look
for sure.
Did you say Ole Miss?
Ole Miss.
That threw me off. I never heard you say that before.
It took me a second.
Yeah, I thought it's they playing some mid major over the weekend. I was like
maybe it's some pitcher's last name.
I thought
name.
He was like meaning McNeese, and he's like, Ole Miss.
State.
Yeah, that one threw me off. It was creative.
They play Alabama this weekend. Is that right?
That would not be wrong.
Yeah, Alabama.
In other words, that's correct. Yes.
Yeah, Alabama this weekend.
In other words, that's correct.
6:30. Then two tomorrow, one Sunday.
Need a little help from them too, huh?
They play
Alabama.
I mean,
it'd be nice. It'd be
then
nice.
Ole Miss, then Kentucky. So
it would be nice if Alabama could maybe take a game from the Commodores.
Hey, they're out there fighting for their tournament lives. They desperately need to take a game from the Commodores. So roll Tide for the weekend. Ugh, that hurt to say.
Nah, they're playing Vandy. It's baseball. It's fine. It's fine. Venturing off track a little, fifth down for you. Before we get Logan Quinton on. Charlie, you were telling me about, before the show started today, recent Tennessee commit Taven Jackson at the Elite 11.
In Indianapolis, yeah. He was at one of the regional Elite 11s. Got rave reviews. Absolutely fantastic reviews. There is an article in Sports Illustrated where they were covering that Elite 11 regional in Indianapolis. He was named far and away their top performer of the week. Now, lots of people very, very complimentary of his performance at that camp.
Well, that's good. It's good. Like I said, recent commit for Tennessee at the quarterback position, showing off his talents at the Elite 11. So I know it doesn't mean all that much as far as wins go, but we'll take the good news when we can get it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Taven Jackson at the Elite 11. 865-546-8200 is our number. But hold your phone calls as we will have Logan Quinton after the break to break down this Tennessee baseball series against Missouri. That's coming up on the other side. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. .1016 back on the Blitz as we are joined by the one and only Logan Quinton. Logan, how's it going on this Friday?
Feels good to be with you guys. I know the general is out. Are you able to keep things together?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, who do you think we are?
I'm just curious. I know Chance. Thoughts and prayers to you. I know it's hard in there in the box with a Mets fan and a Nationals fan.
It's pretty tough at times. And a Rangers fan also. But I know
I would imagine Charlie and Geriatric Brandon are probably throwing food at each other right now. Is that what's going on?
I don't really.
Today they're having a good day. Today they're having a good day.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. You know Rick's watching, listening.
So a little Braves banter on your Friday AM.
I mean,
yeah,
your third place Braves can kiss it, Logan.
You're just lucky that apparently a curveball 3 inches below Victor Robles' knee is strike three, Logan.
Would that keep you from the sweep?
It would have, actually, because then Ryan Zimmerman followed it up with a double the next inning that would have scored two runs and given us a lead. So
we still would have won the series, right?
Nope. Yeah, no, you still would have won the series.
I got you.
No, you still would have been under .500, though, too. I don't think that anyone in the NL East is allowed to say anything to anyone because all of us suck a lot.
That's true. That's totally fair.
I don't listen to teams in third place or last.
Hey, we're going to be first place by the end of this weekend because we're going to beat the Phillies. I'm going to be down there to make sure it happens, all right?
Oh, you're going to SunTrust Park this weekend.
It's Truist Park.
Truist.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Your Hank. Chance. Just the Hank. Just call it the Hank.
Oh, shoot. We're in last now.
Yeah, you're in last. You were bragging about being in first at the beginning of the week. You're in last now.
First game of the season for you, Logan.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got to catch the Reds game last week in Cincinnati. Unfortunately, lost to the Cubs.
That was
Saturday.
The ball, right?
Yeah, that was the bench clearing.
Awesome.
That was
awesome.
A good
That's
time.
Good to hear. Yeah, the Braves are going 100% capacity starting tonight. Can't get down there tonight, but I will be there tomorrow.
Very nice. All right, Logan, let's get down to brass tacks. Tennessee. What? What's so
have
funny?
Have you never heard brass tacks before?
No, I have. I'm just so glad he used it.
Tennessee traveling on the road to Missouri this weekend. Missouri on a little bit of a skid. They've lost six straight and let's see, 12 of their last 13. This is not a very good baseball team. And Tony V returning to his alma mater. What should we expect this weekend in Como?
Well, what I chose to write about this weekend, and it's hot printing on the press right now. The imaging plates are getting ready, so it'll be out soon. It's not much analysts here, right? Like you mentioned it, Missouri not good, the Vols very good. So what I focused on was how can some key players, you know, some guys that are starting to emerge, how can they make an impact? Because really, that's what's going to be important going forward. We know the constants with like Liam Spence and Max Ferguson, those type of guys are going to be there and they do what they do. Same with Chad Dallas and Blade Tidwell, most of the pitching staff. But what I think is going to be key and really give these guys an edge going into the postseason is guys like Jordan Beck. This guy has emerged, you know, early on he was hitting all those homers. He had the walk-off. And then he started struggling at the plate, particularly with breaking balls. Slowly but surely, he's progressed. He was down to 215 average after the LSU series. He's now up to 262, and he's starting to blister the ball. This guy is a fantastic athlete, plays a great corner in right field, and he's starting to get things together at the plate. And a quick note on him, by the way, here's some trivia for you basketball guys. You guys know who Jordan Beck's high school teammate was on the basketball team, who's now an NBA player?
I do not know. Please enlighten me.
Former Alabama star and current Pelican, Kyra Lewis. Hmm. So Jordan Beck was teammates with him on the basketball team. They went to the Final Four, made it to the Final Four of the Alabama 6A class. And Jordan Beck was a star on that team. He was an all-tournament guy. So this is an athlete that can really do some things out there for the Vols. And then on the pitching staff, I think guys like Will Mabry and Matt McLaughlin, those are guys that can kind of be the next ones out behind Hundley and Cannell. You know, we've seen that when Hundley and Cannell have to go two or three times in a series, you know, the opponent starts to pick up on some things, and it's a lot tougher. I mean, it's tougher for anybody, you know, second time around when you have, you know, multiple appearances in a series. So if guys like McLaughlin and Mabry can step up and they can just have a rotation in the pen to last a whole series, like, that's going to make a difference. And I think they're capable of doing so.
Logan, we got Cheese Dallas on the mound for the Vols tonight. And I was looking into Missouri last night. I feel like if for their best chance to win a game in this series, I think it's tonight. With Seth Halverson on the mound, he's pretty good. He's had some career days the last few times he's been out there. He had 10 strikeouts in seven innings against A&M. So I feel like if Missouri's going to get one, I feel like tonight might be their best chance.
Yeah, you're probably right, but still, it's going to be tough going up against Cheese. He's so consistent, and I think he's on the an uptick lately. I mean, we've talked about it before where, yeah, he's a winner. They usually like their chances with Cheese on the bump, but he would still be susceptible to the home run, the long ball. He's a fly ball pitcher. Well, past couple outings, he's been able to keep it low, keep it in the park, and really he's been stretched out. Like, he's gotten over 100 pitches the past couple of times, and I think that's probably what they're looking at right now is – to go out and just secure this first win and get that leverage on the series right away. I mean, this certainly can be a series where Tennessee has a lot of wiggle room, but that's not going to happen until you create that leisure. So I'm looking for Dallas to go 7 or 8, and then the Vols to close it out, get it over with, and then maybe look at like Saturday, Sunday to kind of get some guys work in. But yeah, as it pertains to the pitching matchup tonight, I don't know. I still think that the Vols should be able to handle the Tigers rather easily.
Logan, yeah. How does Missouri's ballpark fare for pitchers? Is it more pitcher friendly or hitter friendly? You know, for a long ball pitcher like Cheese Dallas.
I think he's going to be able to keep it in the park, honestly. And really, that's a testament, ballpark or not. I think it's a testament of what he's been able to do with his approach, his effectiveness with the breaking ball. Because before it was, you know, heavy on the fastball early to start the season, and he's really formed into a pitcher instead of just a thrower, you know. So I think that's going to have more to do with, you know, not giving up the fly ball so much as it does the part.
Again, we're talking with Logan Quinton of FanRunRadio.com. You can follow him on Twitter at LDQ Sports. Logan, when you look at this series, you know, we talked about it's a struggling Missouri team, but Tennessee hasn't really fared well, even in the Vitello era, against the Tigers. Much different team this year, I'd say. They're 2-4. What's going to be the name of the game for the weekend? You think it's going to be the explosion of the bombs, as it has been for the last 9 of its past 10 games that UT has homered in? Or you think we'll see a little bit more dominance in pitching? I know you talked about you didn't think Cheese Dallas is going to have too much trouble with the opening start going on tonight. But what's going to get the Vols to take this series over the weekend, perhaps a sweep, or, you know, take two of the three?
Yeah, I think it's going to the runs are going to continue at a high rate. I think they get 25 runs in the series rather easily. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they touch 30 for the whole series. I'm serious. They've got 27 homers in their last 12 games. Guys are really starting to see the ball, like Beck. And then you've got other guys that are just so consistent and keep that lineup turning. And they're deep. Like, people don't understand, this is a fantastic outfield that they have. Yeah. And they've got two great pieces that don't start. That they could put in the outfield or pinch hit, pinch run, whatever, in Kyle Booker or Christian Scott. So it's a very versatile lineup, and I think they're just going to wear down on the Tigers. Like I said, I look for a lot of runs to be scored. I think Tennessee definitely wins the series. I think they even get the sweep, possibly. What the weird factor is going to be, you know, if Tony V get some guys working that don't have that much experience yet, and how much of a factor that plays, might slip up one game or something, but they very well. You mentioned the trend with the Tigers. You know, the history is really weird. They've got the stranglehold on the Vols, but I still think they get the series win. Look for them to score close to 30 runs in all the series.
Logan, we talk about the explosion of the bats. Tennessee is 24-1. When they at least score 6 runs on the opposition this season. And in total, you know, you talk about the depth, 13 different Vols have went long ball this season, with 10 players having multiple home runs on the roster. Did anybody really expect this? And I know you say the guys are seeing the ball now, but going into the season, did you expect the offensive explosion to be this massive?
No, not really. I knew it was going to be a lineup with a lot of tools. And some versatility and some guys that are going to get on base a lot. But to do what they've done, and I think we've talked about this, is like it kind of seems like they're going to that next level. Like, they're not going to change what they do, right? They'll never change that approach of wearing down pitchers with, you know, just grinding away at bats and getting on base. That's going to be their focus. But the ability to just turn that switch and to just go the opposite way when the pitcher challenges you, I mean, that's kind of special. And we'll monitor. We got 9 SEC games left. I think they're trending in that direction. But we'll see. We'll find out this weekend probably.
Logan, you know, we've obviously just spent a lot of the recent time talking about Tennessee's impressive surge in homers the last dating back, I guess, to a little bit before the A&M series. Has it been a change in the approach, you think? Or are guys, you know, looking to try to hit home runs more frequently, or have they just kept the same approach but just been barreling balls up better?
I think it's the latter, because like I said, they're bread and butter, their makeup. A great comparison that I heard from Rusty Enzer weeks ago was like the Moneyball A's team. For me, that's the approach we've seen from a lot of guys. But you still have these guys like Jordan Beck and Drew Gilbert in there. Like Drew Gilbert, he's a Deadpool hitter. And then Beck was struggling so much and with the breaking ball, but like now he's seeing things better. And I think the approach is not going to change for the most part for most guys, like a Ferguson or a Spence or a Lipsius. But the reason why I circled Beck going forward is like his approach, he was focused on, while he was struggling, he was focused on sacrificing guys over, just putting the ball in play, doing whatever he could to just produce runs or a base. And that, in turn, through that process, he's starting to barrel it better. And I think that's him and a few other factors. I don't think it's a wide change approach. I just think he's picking it up, and a couple of other guys are picking it up on some things when pitchers challenge them. And it's just creating a new leaf. It's creating a new level that the Vols can go to.
Logan, there's been a lot of speaking, you know, getting off the series for a little bit. A lot of scuttlebutt surrounding Tony Vitello and, you know, his future, as far as a lot of teams seem to be noticing what he's doing here at Tennessee and the quick turnaround and how he has really invigorated some life into the baseball program. How imperative is that Tennessee gives Tony Vitello whatever he wants?
Yeah, it's really important. I talked about this on the drive. It's not hard in my opinion. I understand Danny Watt's new. He's you know, trying to figure things out with the football team and everything like that. But man, like, you've got a winner here, and it's time for renovations. And so I think it's the perfect opportunity and perfect marriage to be able to, like, you have your guy, give him what he needs. And because it's time for renovations either way.
Would you say it's renovations or a new stadium in play? And which, comparing that to, like, you know, I guess locking him up for long term and even maybe making him one of the top baseball, as far as salary goes, college baseball coaches in the conference and in the nation, which one's more important, the renovations and the perhaps a new stadium, or, you know, just locking him in and paying him what he's worth? Or both.
If I had to choose, well, it's both. The answer is both. But I mean, like, if I had to choose, you know, I would get my guy and then let everything else settle in place, because the winning's gonna, you know, equal more revenue and more ability to make things happen. But the renovations are gonna happen within the next couple years, from what I've been told. So it's gonna happen. So you've got your guy. You might as well just parlay it. You know what I mean?
Logan, before we let you go, pivoting real quick, you know, we're entering the final stretch of this season, three series left, tied with Vanderbilt right now atop the East, tied for second in the total SEC standings behind just Arkansas, tied with Vandy and Mississippi State. What do you think the likelihood is, you know, with Tennessee having a probably more difficult path than Vanderbilt and Arkansas down the stretch, for Tennessee to be able to potentially win the East, as well as, you know, just get one of those top four overall SEC seeds and avoid the single elimination game in the first round of the SEC tournament?
Yeah, so I think they've got a great chance to get the bye. But the problem is like, you got five or six really good teams in the conference. And like Tony V mentioned, they're a ways out. Like, it seems to us, it seems like, oh, yeah, the season's coming to an end. But a lot can happen. I mean, even just dropping one game to Missouri could make all the difference in the world. So I think they got the right mindset, and I expect them to get the bye. And when it comes to being number one in the East or number one overall, I mean, they control their own destiny. You know, they got Arkansas there to end the home season, you know, conference series. So it's in their hands, and I think it's going to come down to the wire. I really do. No matter how it slices up, I think the Vols are going to be in it till the end.
Good stuff, as always, from Logan Quinton. Logan, we appreciate you hopping on. You can follow him on Twitter, LDQ Sports.
Oh, wait, Logan, you predicting the sweep officially?
I'll go ahead and do it. Predict the sweep, and they'll get over 25 runs for the series. Logstradamus is back.
Backing off a little bit. You said 30. I remember. I heard. He's going 25 officially. Over 25 runs officially. Logan, yep. We appreciate it, as always. Be looking for his article on fanrunradio.com with the Missouri preview a little bit later on. Take a quick break, 865-546-8200. If you want to get in with us, 30 minutes left till we get to the weekend and get you ready for Talk Sports. You'll listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Back on The Blitz, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie with you for another 30 minutes getting you set
for Ronnie Talks. Dunn. I don't know who is it.
I like Ronnie Dunn.
I like Ronnie Dunn, too.
I think Charlie likes him a little too much, if there's such a thing.
I don't know about that. Again, you guys wouldn't have to hear nearly as much Brooks and Dunn when I am controlling the magic machine. If you guys just gave me more options for country music. Again, all I have is one Mason Ramsey song.
We told you could do it. You
put them in there.
How?
Chance will give you a tutorial after the show.
I know. I mean, I know on the little bottom left thing, but
I'll text you how to do it.
I've looked through the bottom left thing. I can't find any more country
people. You're going to have to add your own. You're going to add your Billy Currington. Sweet tea and whatever else you like.
From my computer onto this thing?
No.
You got to put it on. They got this thing called a jump drive.
Yeah.
Is that different from a flash drive?
Same thing.
It's the same thing. It's called, some people call it jump drive.
We'll work on it. We'll give you the tutorial at some point.
It's not hard. Trust me, you can do it. Good stuff from Logan.
Yeah, good stuff. And like he said, he's predicting the sweep. I think if Tennessee wants to contend for first in the East, which, I mean, they already are in
honestly,
contention.
First in the East, though, doesn't really matter.
Well, it'd still be nice. But ultimately, for the SEC championship, I think they need to sweep Missouri this weekend. I think it's crucial to kind of get that. I mean, I think they'll win the series pretty easily, but I think they need to take the sweep to have a chance to make a push for the conference championship regular season.
Yeah, I mean, if you sweep Missouri, that's exactly the conversation you're having. You're hosting Arkansas, and you're saying, holy cow, Tennessee really has a chance to win the SEC. But if you drop a game to Arkansas, I mean, excuse me, not Arkansas, if you drop a game to Missouri this weekend, you know, it's an entirely different feeling. Oh my gosh, we might drop out of the top four. We might have to play in the single elimination game the first night of the SEC tournament. So it's imperative that you take care of business this weekend.
Yeah, so kind of a blessing that you get a team like Missouri on the schedule. And one thing we didn't talk about with Logan, Tennessee has been excellent on the road. So hopefully that continues this weekend. Switching gears just a little bit as we head down to Miami.
Miami.
As things got a little heated yesterday, I don't know what kind of event was going on. I don't know if they were.
I think it was a press conference thing for their fight.
Yeah, so Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul. We are about yesterday was 1 month, so 1 month away from their fight at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. But it was Logan Paul's brother Jake who was the one that kind of started the brouhaha of sorts that happened. So there was a big gathering of people at Hard Rock Stadium. Floyd Mayweather was there. Jake Paul was there as well. They were exchanging some words. People around standing around with cameras. They were jawing back and forth, kind of getting in each other's face. And then, Jake Paul grabs Floyd Mayweather's hat from off of his head and says, "Got your hat," and runs away like he's 10 years old.
He made a TikTok about it as well.
Jake Paul made a TikTok about it?
He said, "Hey, watch this. I'm going to go take Floyd's hat." And then he ran up and got in his face and distracted him and then just snatched his hat and said, "Got your hat," and ran away. And they made a little TikTok.
They even started, he's selling merch now called "Got Your Hat."
Already?
Yeah, already.
Wow. He's
selling merch.
Wow.
Wow. Apparently.
Floyd's going to kill that dude.
Apparently, Mayweather called both Pauls fake fighters and offered to take both of them on at the same night.
We're talking about the best pound for pound, especially defensive boxer that I've seen in my lifetime. And, he's not going to touch him at all. And then he's just going to rope-a-dope him and knock him out or whatever, TKO him later. He ain't touching Floyd.
Let's see. Mayweather said the scuffle was sparked by what he felt was a lack of respect by Paul. He said, "I don't want to be disrespected. You can't keep touching me and disrespecting me." Part of me feels like this is all just one big PR stunt to get people talking about it and get people ready for the fight. Part of me thinks Mayweather might be in on it a little bit. But if that is the case, if it's not, does this incident yesterday, does it increase your likelihood to watch the fight on June 6th?
I was going to watch it anyways. I mean, you tell me Floyd's fighting, I'm likely going to watch that at all times, but I am a little bit more intrigued.
If anything, yesterday made me now question the sincerity of this fight more than I was before. Because, you know, yesterday felt like, hey, let's pretend like we hate each other. I'll take your hat. Then I'll make some merch. I'll throw you some money and we'll really get this thing riled up. You know, I'm not sure if they're really going to go all in on each other or if they're just going to agree to a little something beforehand and take their check. Because I mean, that's what happened with Askren. You can't tell me otherwise that fight wasn't just set up.
Well, hopefully this one lasts a little bit longer than the other one. Hopefully so.
What's the exact day again?
June 6th.
June 6th. Thank you. That's pretty soon. That's like a quick setup and turnaround for a fight, I feel like.
Yeah, it's less than a month away. The undercard will feature heavyweight Jean Pascal versus Badal Jack. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Super welterweight Jarrett Hurd and Louis Arias, and former NFL wide receiver Chad Johnson will make his boxing debut. Little Chad Ochocinco.
Wait, Chad Ochocinco's boxing?
Yeah, he's making his boxing debut.
Good googly moogly.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the bigger story. I can't wait to watch Chad Ochocinco fight.
Who's he fighting?
It doesn't say. It just says he's making his boxing debut.
This is one of those, another one of those thriller.
Just call up Askren again.
He got enough the last time.
That can just be his new thing. It's just getting a little quick check to get knocked out by non-boxers.
Let's see. See if I can find who he's fighting.
Ochocinco trying to get out there and do it.
Yeah, he said everything in life I'm good at outside of golf.
He's pretty. He's
can't
pretty,
disagree with that.
He's a pretty good soccer child player
please.
Too.
Let's see. Doesn't say who he's fighting.
Okay.
So,
like the trend of these ex celebrities getting into boxing. I mean, ex athletes and celebrities getting into boxing.
I mean, it's getting people.
It's entertaining.
It's getting people to watch boxing, which feel like was a dying sport.
Well, it's still likely not. You just don't have any big marquee matches. I mean, people are waiting for Joshua Fury, if that ever comes around, and maybe for the Fury Wilder trilogy. So yeah.
So we'll see.
It's entertaining to say the least.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the Mayweather Paul fight. We'll see what happens. June 6th. We'll take a quick break. Final segment of the day of the week coming up next. Oh, Mary. 10:48. After this segment, you will not have to listen to Brooks and Dunn for the rest of the day, I would venture to guess.
He does this.
I don't know. Cam is a pretty big Brooks and Dunn guy, I've heard.
So, like, ending segment of the show, and like a lot of shows have, we have, like, a song that signifies the show's about to be over. He does this every time.
Mine's a Neon Moon.
Yeah, his.
It's my signature touch.
That wasn't even Neon Moon.
No, that's the one I play on the end of the show.
Oh, okay. Brooks and you probably won't hear Brooks.
It's my producer's signature, you know.
Well, it's that time. Do this around the time every show. A little time for a little. If you haven't heard, who would like to start us off?
Charlie.
Me. You're gonna just throw it over here.
Well, if you haven't heard in music news, J. Cole.
That was what I was about to say when you just said me.
You just acted like you didn't.
I was in
go.
The process of about. I was. I just said and then you just cut me off.
Well, coming next week to.
That wasn't what I was about to say. Then
many platforms. The off season, J. Cole. He's releasing his album. It's been like three.
It's been in the works for a while. Yeah, it's
4 years.
It was my
now.
Freshman year when he dropped KOD. So
yeah, so it's been about almost 4 years. And he also released, I guess, a snippet.
Yeah,
from the album today.
Released a single last night called "Interlude" at midnight. It's 2 minutes 10 seconds long. It's excellent.
Hashtag
J. Cole,
world,
best rapper of all time. The GOAT.
I don't know about all time, but he's very good.
The GOAT.
So.
He is the GOAT.
But look out for that.
If you haven't heard. Tiger King star Jeff Lowe, he's got trouble with the feds again.
Oh, no.
But this time he says they're actually hauling animals out of his zoo. Jeff Lowe tells TMZ the authorities executed a search and seizure warrant Thursday morning at his Tiger King Park in Thackerville, Oklahoma, and began taking animals away, which he believes is a violation of his constitutional rights. He says the feds are refusing to tell him exactly what's going on, but according to the warrant, they're taking animals protected by the Endangered Species Act. We're told the warrant was issued by a federal judge this week in the Eastern District of Oklahoma. There's actually video on TMZ of the feds taking animals out of the zoo. So a little update there on Tiger King.
Jeff. Always got himself into something.
He says this is why Lauren and I, his wife, are moving overseas to take over an animal refuge there. So, Jeff Lowe, back in the news.
Always here for more Tiger King content.
Most annoying.
Never watched it.
I still can't believe you know.
How do you not go back and watch it?
I know. I mean,
it's worth it.
I would even say it is worth it just to go back and watch it.
Just the absurdity of it all. Yeah. I mean, just to be a part of it.
How crazy the people are.
If you haven't heard, the most annoying woman on the planet, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, who has been very difficult throughout the whole COVID thing with the Nationals getting fans in their park, has allowed weddings to finally happen. But the catch is there is a strict ban on dancing. If you're dancing at a wedding in D.C., you are subject to fine and other legal stuff.
Huh. So no dancing at the wedding. Seems pretty important.
I don't know why you would just not get married not in D.C., given that if you were at any point in D.C., you're like a 15-minute drive from not being in D.C. Also, I don't even think there are any good wedding venues in D.C., like really, for the most part.
Just drive to Virginia.
Not a great place. I don't know. She also got rid of the mask mandate for 24 hours before deciding to put it back on.
I saw that like last week. If you haven't heard, the Grand Ole Opry said it will open up performances to full capacity for the first time in more than a year, beginning with its performance on Friday, May 14th, a week from today. Featuring Opry members Lori Morgan and the Oak Ridge Boys and more.
Nashville is, they're doing their thing. They're good now. Nashville's back. We got people waving around colonoscopy bags and getting arrested. We got all kinds of stuff going on.
Waving around. What?
Yeah.
Oh, did you not catch that story?
Kid Rock's.
Yeah, earlier this week, someone at Kid Rock's was waving around a colonoscopy bag.
That's colostomy.
Flinging feces on everyone. Or whatever else is in that weird bag.
It was
bag.
At police officers.
And he got arrested. Also, Nashville SC, the soccer team, they're at 100% capacity for their next home game. So, makes me feel like the Titans are probably going to be good to have 100% capacity.
Also, if you haven't heard, something that we didn't even get to talk about today, but apparently Danny White, making some rounds on some local radio around town, had this to say about Tennessee women's basketball, or it's about UConn. He said Tennessee has a UConn women's basketball level fan base.
Okay.
What is that? I mean,
I don't say that.
Well,
we were the fan base before.
First of all,
were.
Very cringeworthy, knowing the history between Gino and Pat back in the day when she was live when they coached against each other, and also just because in general, how much nobody liked UConn for. Everybody hated UConn as far as Lady Vols basketball goes, and pretty bad. He's taking a lot of flack today on that. That he said Tennessee has a UConn women's basketball level fan base. Don't know why he said that. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but Danny White, puts foot to mouth.
He was one of the best athletic directors in the country and has been for a very long time. He was highly coveted, highly paid, and highly regarded when we hired him, but he just keeps saying the wrong
things. The dumbest
like,
things.
Really just is struggling to say the right things.
Yeah. I just don't get it at times. So, that's some news on Danny White. Phone a buddy. And it wouldn't be a Friday without National Calendar Days for May 7th, Friday, May 7th, 2021. Today, National Space Day. That's pretty fitting.
Convenient.
Well, yeah, we talked a lot about space. It's National Provider Appreciation Day. I couldn't speak for a second. It's the chair. It's also School Lunch Hero Day. National Military Spouse Appreciation Day. So shout out to the military spouses. Supporting their military. Also, National Barrier Awareness Day. Watch out for the barriers. National Paste Up Day.
Paste up?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't paste down.
I guess so. National Packaging Design Day. I do like nice designs on packages. It's aesthetically pleasing. And it's National Roast Leg of Lamb Day.
Cross your fingers.
Roast Leg of Lamb.
Cross your fingers we don't get hit by space debris this weekend.
I like mutton.
Yeah, watch out for space debris.
If you Charlie, can. Have a good graduation. Congrats again.
Thank you. Hopefully, that would be bad. Space debris graduation combo.
Well, at least you graduate first. Stay tuned. Talk Sports coming up next. The Drive at 3 and overtime taking home from 6 until 8.